The AutJet Business Show is your gateway to expert business advice and real-world success stories. Each week, a different leader in the business world will share their tips, insights, and lessons, offering you practical advice to navigate your entrepreneurial journey. Whether you have a business idea or are just starting out or looking to elevate your existing business, the AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Ensure you get these transformative conversations live on Thursdays at 6 p.m. or find the podcast at highfm.com. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the AutJet Business Show, and it's brought to you with the compliments of Evstage. Let them bring your corporate event to life and make it unforgettable.
Let Avstage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact Avstage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome. It's Thursday evening again. I'm David Zeidel, and you're listening to the AutJet Business Show. And tonight, our special guest is Julian Day. He's the creator of the Systemic Stairway. And if you don't know what we're talking about, hopefully by the end of this evening, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. But Julian, as I tell my guests when they come on, I give a short little business story, and then I'll introduce you and we can start talking about your systemic stairway. I know a little bit, but I also want to know a lot about that. So the story is about the keyboard. If you look at any computer today, there's a keyboard and it's called a QWERTY keyboard. And the reason it's called a QWERTY keyboard is because the first six letters on the top left-hand side spell out the word QWERTY. And if you ask anybody, why do you think they laid the keyboard out the way that they did? Because when you first start typing, you can't find the A, and then where's the B, and when's the C? It's not in alphabetical order, and it's in this QWERTY layout. And I've asked a few people, why do you think they laid out the keyboard like this? And the answer is always the same. Obviously, because it helps you to type faster. And that obviously is not that obvious. In fact, it's the exact opposite. The keyboard was used on a typewriter. And those old enough to remember, on the typewriter, you used to have these metal rods that used to come up and strike the page. And if you were too fast, the rods would get stuck together. So the QWERTY keyboard was laid out in a way to actually slow your typing down to minimize the number of times that it strikes the page. And now none of us use the keyboard or use a typewriter anymore. In fact, there's a shop in New York that sells typewriters. They're the only ones. They were about to close down, and then they found out people actually wanted the typewriter as a novelty. There's another type of keyboard. It's called the Dvorak keyboard. And the interesting about that is it actually makes your typing a lot faster. But none of the laptops who don't have those metal rods use that. And the reason? Because it's hard to untrain people. We've learned it. We've used it for so long. And it's called path dependency, that we are now dependent on the inefficient way. We've become efficient in an inefficient way. And I think that could relate to other things in business. I'm going to now move over to Julian, but before I move over to you, Julian, we're going to pay our bills, and then I can introduce you afterwards and go straight into the interview.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Ortjet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel. And the Ortjet Business Show is brought to you with the compliments of Avstage. Let them bring your corporate event to life and make it unforgettable.
Let Avstage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact Avstage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
So welcome, I'm David Zeidel, and what's unforgettable is Julian Day. And he's going to make our day. And Julian is the creator, as I said earlier, of the Systemic Stairway. Actually, Julian was born in Tanzania, and he was raised on a remote island. And I don't think any of you have heard of this island. It's called Tristan da Cunha. It's in the middle of the South Atlantic Ocean. And I actually Googled it today and all I saw was sea. I couldn't even see the island. It's a tiny little speck in the middle of nowhere, halfway between South Africa and I think Argentina. And he was forced to leave the island at the age of 6 for 2 years because it had an active volcano. And Julian has described himself as an extreme introvert. So I think living on an island that has only 300 people suited him very well. After school, he wanted to become a musician. And he says that that might have been a good job, but not a great career. And Julian told me an interesting joke around that, that he said, what's the difference between a musician and a pizza? And his answer was, a pizza can afford a family of can feed a family of four. So it's about making strategic decisions. So Julian became an IT specialist, and in the late 90s, he found out that about 75% of IT projects failed. And he realized that it was not an IT problem, but a collaboration problem. So he embarked on a PhD in the design of collaborative projects to try and study the issue. His work led to the creation of a practical methodology called the Systemic Stairway. And this tool helps people simplify complex issues and to manage anything from small projects to large-scale organizational change. He's published a book and taught thousands of professionals to use this methodology. So Julian is here with us today to help us understand his system and to help us turn complexity into clarity. Julian, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Great. And I want to ask you before we get into it, and I'd like you to kind of unpack and show us what that systemic stairway is. But before we get there, I've given a little bit of brief history around your life and the background. Can you just elaborate a little bit on that? How did you land up living in the island in the middle of the ocean? And just take us a little bit from that so we have a little bit of background to you before we get into the actual business that you do.
Well, my father was the administrator. He was appointed as administrator of that island because it was a British colony. In fact, it's governed by the governor of St. Helena. And so he just got posted there. That was what he had to do. But when the volcano erupted, all the islanders were evacuated off the island. I'd lived there for 2 years already. And so we waved goodbye to them, all 300 people. And then about 3 months later, I was then in the UK, living in Leicester, actually. And we said hello to them again because they were all evacuated and sent to England. And people thought that they would stay there because basically Tristan was a sort of 19th century existence. We had bullock carts and donkeys and basically subsistence. But they turned their back on that. They had an experience of the 20th century and said, no, we would like to go back. And so they asked my father to resettle the islands. And so when I went back, I was 8 years old. And 60 people went back initially because the island had been abandoned. And so they sent families with no children, young families, to go and sort of get the island ready for the remainder, you know, open the doors, open the windows of the abandoned houses. And my sister and I went back, and we were homeschooled there, waiting for the rest of the people to come, but they came 6 months later. And so it's, I think, the only example of a colony that's actually been resettled. And I was part of that experience. So, yes, it's a very isolated place. We got mail once every 6 months through fishing ships and that type of thing. But very, very interesting childhood, basically. And then I came to South Africa when I was 10 years old and lived in Fishhoek.
Okay. And you live in Cape Town, and you're actually online to us now from Cape Town.
Correct, yes.
Great. Yeah. So, Julian, just take us through and try discuss your systemic stairway. What is it? What does a triad do? And if you can almost give us an online lecture maybe of how one would use it.
Well, I spent 20 years in the IT industry as a programmer. This was from 1980 through to the year 2000. And, you know, when I started off in 1980 as a programmer, which I really enjoyed, we had about a 15% failure rate around the world in software projects. And we called ourselves software engineers, and engineers shouldn't have a failure rate of 15%. You know, imagine if 15% of buildings fell down or airplanes crashed. This would be unacceptable. So people like myself would go on umpteen project management courses, software development courses, to try and get this failure rate, you know, down to, you know, acceptable proportions. And the truth of the matter is that by 1995, this is 15 years later, that failure rate had gone up to 75%. So the more we tried to use conventional wisdom, and I loved your story about the QWERTY keyboard, you know, apply the conventional wisdom, the more things seem to get, you know, heading in the wrong direction. And so I was encouraged to try and do something about this, because I got sick and tired of this, the odds so heavily stacked against me when I go to work. And what I started to realize is that the real problem has nothing to do with technology. You know, programmers know how to program, and engineers know how to set up systems. It's basically a collaboration problem, which is dysfunctional. And to give you an example, if somebody asked me to program, let's say, a business rule, let's say we want to decide to give a 15% or 5% discount, let's say, settlement discount, to people who pay their bills within, you know, 15 days, that would be half an hour's work to program, and any programmer could program a simple rule like that. But trying to get people to decide on that rule, you know, marketing say one thing, finance say another thing, operations say another thing, we would find that trying to get those requirements settled was really where the problem started. And of course, business and IT have a real issue, a collaboration issue that they have to resolve in order to do that.
So I'm going to interrupt you a bit because I need to collaborate with you and with our ad break. So we'll pick up the story after the ad break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back to the AutJet Business Show, and this show is brought to you with the compliments of AvStage. Let them bring your corporate event to life and make it unforgettable.
Let AvStage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact AvStage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome back to the AutJet Business Show. If you've just tuned in, we're busy talking to Julian Day, and he's the creator of Systemic Stairways. And just before the break, Julian was explaining to us how there was an IT problem that these IT engineers initially had a 15% failure rate that seemed bad, and that grew to be a 75% failure rate. And Julian was explaining to us that it's not about getting the work done. If one person tells us what the requirement is, it's easy to code that. What happens is when one person has one requirement and another part of the business has another requirement and another part has a third requirement, etc. And I remember years ago, I was involved in a small business and we put a little IT system together, and I'd heard that there was it's impossible to do. And I put the requirements in and it worked beautifully. And I thought, I can't see what the problem is. But then I found out that 10% of the work is what I think it is. 90% of the work is now dealing with all the exceptions. It's getting the system to deal with the things that are not the norm. And this is what Julian's telling us about, and started to develop that. So the problem that he identified was it's not really the actual programming, it's dealing with the diverse requirements. Have I summed that up okay, Julian?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, I started to worry about this. You know, how am I going to go forward in life if I've got the odds heavily stacked against me? And I had a look, what am I actually doing every day as a systems analyst and project manager? Well, most of the day I'm talking to people, I'm in meetings. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm in conversation the whole time. And the thing that we need in these situations is intelligent conversations. You know, you might have 10 very intelligent people, but when they get together, it doesn't mean that they have an intelligent conversation. And I realized that my job is actually to design these conversations so that we actually reach agreement quickly. And that is a huge paradigm shift, because, you know, I was always taught that my job is to be a solution provider. What I need to do is come up with solutions, argue my case, get buy-in, and hopefully people will, you know, accept what I have to say. And then I realized, you know, that works in complicated situations. A complicated situation is something that's got a right answer. But I started to understand what complexity is, and complexity is really very different. Complexity are situations where there is no right answer, and what you're trying to do is help people to reach agreement. And the quicker you can get them to reach agreement, the better. And that's when I discovered facilitation, and that's what I do now for a living. I'm literally a conversation designer. And my job is to design exactly the right conversation with exactly the right people at exactly the right time. That really is the key skill that a facilitator needs, because a facilitator can't know the answer to these complex issues when there is no right answer. And really, the word that gets me out of bed every morning is the word manageability. And I think that, everyone is a manager. We all know how to manage the simple things that go on around us. But how do we manage these messy, complex situations? It's not really about managing them. It's about knowing how to make them manageable. And that really is what the systemic stairway does. It takes messy, complex situations that challenge us, that seem to never really get resolved, and it teaches us how to make them manageable. I don't know if that gives you a sort of an idea, David.
It absolutely does. So it's for me, what I'm hearing you say is you first got to understand that there isn't one specific answer, that there could
Yes.
be many different answers. So you're not trying to find the answer, because when you try to find a solution, you're trying to find the answer. Is part of your process actually defining what the problem is? So we think we know what the problem is. And sometimes that's just what's presented. Maybe there's a root cause that you need to go down. Is that part of your system?
Absolutely. What I do when I have a client or somebody who's got a problem is I listen to their story, and they will describe a problem. What I do is I try to find the question that they're asking themselves. And it's very therapeutic to help somebody understand that their problem is really just a question that they don't have an answer to. And one of the principles is collaboration actually begins when we've got a shared question. So when I'm dealing with somebody who's talking to me, I say, "Do you have other people who share this question and who also want an answer to this question?" And if they say yes, then I know that I'm in business, because the systemic stairway is the methodology that I rely on to answer a complex question. Just to make a distinction between complicated and complex, complicated stuff can be debugged. My car, for example, is complicated. And if it doesn't work, somebody can debug it and fix it. But marriage, for example, is complex. Nobody's got the answer to that question. How do we have a nice life together? Only the people involved can answer that question. They have to reach agreement. And we get manageability when we reach agreement on the answer to a a question.
So
I hope it makes some sense.
when you talk about a similar question, is that question a similar problem? So is it a question that we have, the same question, or is it the same problem that we have? Is it a question that's directly related to a problem, or is it just a question?
Well, maybe I can give you an example. I had somebody recently who said, "We lost market share during COVID, and we want to get it back." And so they tell me a long story. And because I haven't, interacted with this person before, he's just been referred to me, I'm very interested to hear the story. And then I asked him the question, "What actually keeps you awake at night?" And I could see this look come across his face. He sort of was quiet for a moment. And then he said, "The thing that keeps me awake at night is that my sales director, my marketing and sales director, and my production manager hate each other. And this is tearing our company apart." So I said, "Well, what's the question that you want answered? Is it the question about getting your market share back? Or is it about resolving the dysfunctionality in your exco, which spreads throughout the organization?" And he said, "I want an answer to the question, how can we have harmonious and productive interactions in our management team?" And so that's the question that we answered. But the systemic stairway can answer both questions. It just, and as you say, the question that the problem that's presented is often not the problem that you really need to resolve. So a lot of the art is, what actually is that right question? And once I've got the question, I can relax because I then rely on my methodology to answer the question.
So we're gonna go through what that methodology is. But would it be correct if I say, if I define your job slightly differently, and I can say you're almost like a business psychologist?
Actually, no. I'm a conversation designer. I never really admit this because if I were to say that at a dinner party or something, everybody would get up and leave. but that's literally what I'm doing. And when I started off, when I finished my research in the year 2000, that's literally what I did. I would say, okay, somebody's presented me with a problem. What is the conversation that we need to have? But what I discovered over the years is that so many times we're doing the same thing. There's some messy situation that's been persisting for a long time. And when you boil it down, what are we doing? We're asking the question, what's going on? Which basically is a sense-making question. We've got to make sense of it. What shall we do? Which is a decision-making, you know, conversation. And who's going to commit to action? Because if we don't commit, nothing will happen. And so that's really, in a nutshell, what the systemic stairway does. It has a sense-making component. We need to make sense of things before we rush into decisions or solutions. When we make decisions, they have to be executable. They can't be just vague hopes and dreams. And of course, you know, decisions don't miraculously implement themselves. We have to commit. And commitment, you know, management is mostly about securing commitments, which is actually tough work. That's the, you know, the sharp end of the process. Securing commitments so that there's real impact and real change. And basically there I've described in a nutshell what the methodology does. It knows the difference between complicated situations and complex situations. We turn the complex situation into a question that everybody wants an answer to, or a number of stakeholders want an answer to. And then we answer the question, what's going on? What should we do? And who will commit to action? And I found that I could use the same methodology over and over and over again. And that's how the systemic stairway came into existence.
Is this something that anyone can use themselves, or would they need you to come in and facilitate it for them?
Well, I've just been teaching some people today, just one day. And so many of them at the end of the day said, I now know what to do. Well, I had one person who said, I've always known that I'm a solution provider and it's inappropriate, but I've never known what to do. So you can literally, you know, you can introduce it very nicely in one day and you can pretty much master it in 2 days. And it is accessible to young people. You know, I've done this with high school kids and they have no problem doing it. It's not rocket science. It's what's going on, you know, what should we do and who's going to do anything? And it's just a matter of introducing a few systems thinking tools and techniques, which are very accessible. But then, you know, the implementation part requires courage. I think if you are a somebody who needs to get things done, you have to have the courage and resilience to ask those questions about commitment. Who, what, when, where, how, and why, and make sure that those questions are actually answered. And I think one of the strengths of this methodology is that it's actually a methodology for getting things done. So it goes right through sense making, right the way through to execution.
And I know you said you've written a book. Is the book on this itself? And can people get hold of the book to learn a little bit more about this?
It's available as an e-book. Actually, I prefer Kobo because Kobo give me a better, they give me a better royalty, but it is available on Amazon as well. Please, if you do want it, get it off Kobo. And if you really want it, I can send you a hard copy, but I'll have to courier that to you if you want it.
Excellent. So we're going to go for another break, but when we come back, you mentioned some systems thinking tools. I'd like to find out from you, what are some of those systems thinking tools? But we'll do that after the break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. I'm David Zeidel. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show, and together we're listening to Julian Day, where he's talking about his systemic stairway of taking something not complicated, but something complex and making it easy to understand and clarifying it. The AutJet Business Show is brought to you with the compliments of Avstage. Let them bring your corporate event to life and make it unforgettable.
Let Avstage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact Avstage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
So, Julian, you're making this evening unforgettable. And part of that is that you said that you need to really get three things in place. The one is to make sense of what the issue really is, and that's asking all the questions. Then to change that into an executable decision. But then the third bit is to actually get it done, which is often, I was going to say it's the hardest one, but I think each of those steps is actually difficult. And then part of that, you said that you can use systems thinking tools to understand what the issue really is. And just before the break, I asked you, what are some of those system thinking tools that we could use? And also, can you use it just for a business, or can we use it for our own personal lives?
Well, you can use it as an individual to solve an individual problem, whether it is work-related or not. You know, complexity is not confined to the workplace. Our home lives can be more complex than our workplaces, and sometimes we can't wait to get to work on a Monday morning just to escape the complexity of home life. I mean, I am joking about that, but literally, you know, you can take it all the way up through to, strategy for a huge organization. Because there is a principle that is absolutely fundamental. If you're going to have make the claim management for anybody who needs to manage anything, you need to have solid principles. And the one thing we know for absolute sure is that things change, and without variables, nothing could ever change. So the methodology starts off by saying, what are the variables that we need to manage? And there's a process for finding those variables. It basically involves people taking their thoughts out of their head. When we present them with a question, what's the question that we all want an answer to? Is multiple perspectives. Just instead of arguing about the solution, why don't we just ask people, what are the factors that come through your mind when we are asking this question? And take them out of your head and just dump them down on pieces of paper or cards or post-it notes. And what we do is we shuffle those into themes, and it always works. You can always get a group of, 10, 15, 20 people, and I've had bigger groups to sort their perspectives, their factors into themes, and we name them as variables. And a variable is something that can change. It's something that can change. And the systems approach says these variables that we discover are interconnected. They're not bullet points that stand alone. The variables influence one another. And there's a prioritization tool. It actually is a very simple systems thinking tool. I've made my own guidelines for it, but you can look it up on the internet if you want, called an interrelationship digraph. Now, I do have my own guidelines for how I use it, which is quite important for the systemic stairway. But anybody who wants to actually look further can just Google interrelationship diagraph and they'll get a general idea. But what we're looking for is the influential variables, which we call the drivers, which are the if I've got the analogy of I'm driving along a road and there's a rock in the way, well, I can't get where I want to go. And you ask me what's important. Well, what's important is moving the rock. That's the outcome that I want. But I would be wasting my time and energy if I got out of my car and pushed this rock, because there's a much more efficient way of doing it. It's finding a lever. And, you know, what is the lever? The lever is the driver. I could probably move that rock with one hand if I applied the lever. And that is the driver. It's the way that we use our precious energy efficiently. And basically, I've made a living out of helping people to understand the difference between what's important and what's a priority. We tend to use those words interchangeably. Moving the rock is important, but my priority is to find that lever, the driver that will help me to move that rock more efficiently. And the interrelationship diagraph is the tool that I use to do that. And I think you can even get primary school kids to understand it. It's such a basic fundamental systems thinking tool. So that's one of them, David.
So if you take the variables that you call them and you put them into themes, there's something that I've heard of called an affinity diagram. Is that a similar kind of thing? And then you take those variables and then you put it into your interrelation diagram to find what's driving what, so that you can now put the effort in the right place.
It is exactly an affinity diagram. But an affinity diagram comes in all shapes and forms. Sometimes it's a bunch of people dumping their thoughts onto the table and finding themes. During COVID, we had to do this remotely. And so we would do it, you know, cut and pasting things into a table, that kind of thing. But absolutely, it's an affinity diagram.
So at the end of the day, what you're saying, and you said it can work for companies and in your home situation, it's looking at all the variables. So what you're really doing is getting everyone to put the variables down on the table, what all the things can be, grouping those things together, and then saying which of those things is the main thing. And as you said, if I'm trying to think what you, it was around not what's important, or it's not the presenting problem, but the cause behind the problem. And that's what can we do to solve the problem? And sometimes you don't focus on the problem to solve it. You've got to focus on something else, which you said is the lever. Going to find the lever, not just looking at the rock all day.
Exactly. And most of the time when there's a persistent problem, what people are doing is they're putting lots of energy into the outcomes, into the rock. And the lever is off the radar screen. And it is amazingly useful for people. You see, if I was a consultant, I would have to sell them the idea that you are doing the wrong thing. But when you're a facilitator, people discover this for themselves. So a facilitator never needs to get buy-in, because they end up making sense of this themselves. And then they can tell themselves, oh, we've been managing the wrong thing. We've been pushing the rock. We haven't been pulling the lever.
Wow, that's amazing. And we've got to pull our own lever here for the adverts. And when we come back, I want to ask you, just in general, if you, what are some of the lessons that you think in your business life over the last few years that people should concentrate on? In other words, what are those levers that they should look at in place of the rocks?
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008. We've come a long way together. Hundreds of thousands listening in over 80 countries, sharing the same goals as you, the same vision, the same values. Thank you for staying with us. Here's to you. Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of life. The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back, and the AutJet Business Show is brought to you with the compliments of Avstage. Let them bring your corporate event to life and make it unforgettable.
Let Avstage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact Avstage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome back to the AutJet Business Show, and we're talking to Julian Davies discussing the systemic stairway. And one of the important things you said is not we mustn't only focus on what's important, but what the priority is. And, you know, while you're talking, something comes to mind, a saying that said, it's easy, but it's not simple. And there's a difference between it. And you're making it sound really easy, but even if you know what you're doing, I don't think it's simple, because if you've done this a few times like you have, you might be able to hone into what the problem is, what the key or the root cause is, a lot easier than if you're doing it for the first time. And those who've just tuned in, it's about getting the sense of what we're looking at, getting to a decision of what we should do, and then making that decision happen, where a lot of people don't do that. Julian, just before the break, I asked you, with your all your experience, if you could pick three or two, five main kind of lessons that you've learned, maybe reoccurring themes that you think anyone in business should know about or should at least focus on.
I think if I, you know, I've been a sole practitioner for 30 years now, so I can only answer from that perspective. It's not necessarily the best business model, but it's the way that I wanted to kind of live my life, if you like. But I think you should trust your instinct, because, you know, back in the when I was struggling away in the IT world with this horrible growing failure rate of IT projects, my instinct told me there's something not right here. And I think it was Picasso that said, you know, common sense is the enemy of creativity. I loved your example about the QWERTY keyboard. You know, it's common sense that it should be a QWERTY keyboard, but your instincts, you know, if you trust it, there's something wrong here. And that's basically what I did. I just kind of knew there had to be a different way. So I would say trust your instinct and challenge common sense. There's such an investment in common sense, but it doesn't mean that it's right. You know, if you look at, for example, mainstream project management, and everybody that goes on a project management course, they're going to get taught the mainstream thinking, because there's a huge investment in it. And then I would say the next thing is, once you've sort of discovered something, once you've found something, you have to pick your battles. because I had some very good advice from somebody who said, don't go to war with project management. You found a different way. That is literally what the dean said to me when I was getting capped with my peer. He said, you've completely rethought project management. But the fact that you've done it and it seems to work doesn't mean that anyone's going to buy it, because there is such an investment to make sure that common sense prevails. So a lot of it is about designing learning experiences, not trying to sell things, but designing learning experiences so that people can actually join the dots for themselves. And that's what I've been doing today. I've got people in a room, and they're actually learning about this paradigm shift experientially. And one of the things I did to them, I gave them a little situation and said, you know, if I took solution provider away from you, what would you do? And they didn't have a clue what to do. You know, how can I solve a problem if I'm not allowed to be a solution provider? Well, there's another road, which is facilitation, but you can't sell it. You have to let people experience it. And if you design that learning experience, they can take it on board without any need to push back and without any need for you to sell. So I would say that would be my journey, if you like. And of course, it's a struggle, because sometimes you just want to tell everybody this is, you know, forget about the mainstream stuff. It's about plugging away at the people who want to listen. I don't know if that answers your question.
It absolutely does. And I'm getting the wrap-up sign from our engineer, Craig. But just before we end, I want to say, well, you've said, first of all, it's trust your instincts, pick your battles. And you were talking about common sense. And sometimes common sense isn't that common. So maybe we should go back to the common sense and see what's important, but what's the priority behind that. Yeah. I'm David Zeidel. This has been Julian Day, and this has been the AutJet Business Show, and it's been brought to you with the compliments of AvStage. Let them bring your corporate event to life and make it unforgettable.